This morning, we're going to carry on from where we, well, where we left off the last time. So we're looking at a series called Finding and Knowing Jesus. The last one we had at the end of the year, I mentioned that it would be a two-part series, and it was meant to end. That was meant to be the last one. However, I just felt that I should add one more installment to that series today, just to start us off for the new year, because I believe this is one thing that God would have me speak to us this morning, so that as we go into the new year, we can go with God's full assurance. Now, if you look at the text here, it has here resting in God, and in the background, it has a road here, and that road, I believe, well, for me, the reason why we chose that picture is that being the beginning of the year, you and I have the rest of the year ahead of us. So it's like starting a journey afresh, because you guys were not just born yesterday. Maybe someone like the young man there, we can say. So it's not starting afresh. But again, since it's like a new year, a lot of us have different expectations. People might have written their New Year's resolutions, and even if you didn't write it, there are things that probably you're looking forward to this year. So I've just put that road there to say that the road ahead for this year is a long road, and really the road of life for us is a long road. And I believe that for us to be able to for us to really go ahead this year, and really for the rest of our lives, we need to really understand what it means to rest in God. So I'm just going to look at that very briefly today, but it's something that I believe that as we think about it, there's so many aspects to it that it will really help us. But for today, I'm just going to get us started and just leave us with a thought, with a thought of what it means to rest in God. So as part of the series, the first one we looked at, I think that was during our Christmas service, we looked at finding Jesus as part of the series. Then the last one we looked at before today, last Sunday, was knowing God. And we spoke quite extensively about what it means to know God. And we said there that Jesus said eternal life. This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God. So this is a third installment that now says, okay, you found Jesus. You're trying your best to know God. Now, how do you stay in God's rest? And really, what is God's rest in this context? So I'm going to look at five things today, if time permits. So the first thing I want to look at is, what is rest? What does it mean when someone says rest a bit, or, you know, are you going to rest now? Well, I got two dictionary meanings here just to give us context. So this is just rest outside of the context of the Bible, just generally speaking. So I got two definitions here. The first one here says to cease work or movement in order to relax, sleep, or recover strength. So it says to rest. I know sometimes you're really tired, you've had a hard day's work, and you're just looking forward to resting. It says that's when you relax, you sleep to recover strength. Now, I got another definition of rest from the dictionary. And here it says, placing hope, trust, or confidence in something. Placing hope, trust, or confidence in something. So we see these two definitions of rest. One is saying it's like a physical rest. You're tired and you're just taking a break. The other one is placing confidence in someone. So maybe I might tell someone today, I could tell you, say, you know what, I'm rest assured that when I go and talk to this person, this is what they're going to say, or I'm rest assured that they're going to help me to do something. So that's not physical rest, but that is saying I'm placing my confidence. I have confidence in the fact that this person is going to do something for me, or I'm confident that something is going to happen. Do you understand? So those are the two forms of rest when we look at it from an everyday perspective. Now, before we move into what's the rest in context of God, the first thing that I want us to look at is the fact that Jesus extends his rest to every single one of us. If we look at Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 and 29. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 to 29. He says, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls." This is the King James Version, which really typifies this very well. So Jesus is saying something here. He's saying, look, he's extending an invitation to us, saying, come, all of you that are heavy laden. He says that, you know, all of you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So it begins to tell us something that for everyone that is in this world, there's a tendency that because of the affairs of the world and because of the daily things we go through, that we're constantly under heavy labor, we're heavy laden, we have a lot of things going on. But Jesus is saying, you know what, you can live your life in such a manner that you don't have to carry the weight of all of life by yourself. So he's inviting you and I to say, come to me, and I will give you rest from your labors. So why am I saying this? I'm saying this because, you know, we're going into a new world. We're already in a new year. And yes, we should exert energy in achieving the things that we want to do. But there is another way we can achieve those things. We can either strive in our own effort. We can try and make things happen ourselves. We can be stressed out trying, or we can take the free invitation of Christ for this year and say, you know what, God, I have a lot of things I want to do. There are a lot of things that you want me to do as well, but I'm going to do it with your help. So Jesus has extended an invitation to enter rest to us. Now, in this instance, we looked at the definition of rest earlier on, but we want to look at rest in the context of God. Now, one can apply this God's rest to so many areas, but for our conversation, well, for today, I'm just going to limit it to a few things. Now, I believe that God's rest extends to different parts of our lives. In fact, God's rest can even refer to people who are not born again, where God says they should enter into his rest, not by works, but by faith. But we're not looking at that today. We're looking at rest as it pertains to the believer, as it pertains to you and I. So there are a number of things I believe God wants us to rest in. The first is God wants us to rest in the fact that he's the one that will keep us to the end. If you look at 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 12, 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 12. You know, some people might be thinking, or sometimes we're thinking, wow, this Christian walk is really tough. Will I be able to really do all the things that God wants me to do? Will I even make it, so to speak? You switch on your Christian television sometimes, and you hear that this person has done this. This person is now preaching error. This person, so on and so forth. And you hear all these things, and you're concerned. But God wants you to know this. He says, Paul was saying to Timothy, he says, can you put it to NIV, please? Thank you. He says, this is why I am suffering as I am. Yet I am not ashamed, because I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him for that day. So you have been entrusted to God. Jesus has entrusted you to himself. Do you understand? And God wants us to be rest assured that even though, you know, all these things might be going up and down the world, it really isn't up to you to keep yourself to the end. Yes, you have a part to play. We need to obey God. We're looking at during our Bible study, we're looking at temptation. And I made a point that, look, God is one that keeps us from temptation. He says he's able to keep us. We just have to cooperate with him. But this is saying that, you know, as we rely upon God, he will keep us to the end. So we don't have to worry or keep ourselves awake thinking, oh, am I going to make it or not in my Christian walk? So that's one part. Now, another part is the fact that we need to rest in the fact that God has a plan for us and he has provided everything that we need for that plan. If you look at Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. And it says there, I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace, none of evil, to give you an expected end. If we look at the NIV version, it says, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope, to give you hope and a future. If you look at 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. And we'll look at the King James Version for that one. It says, according as his divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and to virtue. So God wants us to enter his rest in the fact that, you know what, he has a plan for us. Not only does he have a plan for us, he has given us the ability to fulfill that plan. He's given us everything we need for that plan. So God isn't just looking at you and I now and saying, you know what, it's the new year. What does this person need to fulfill the plans that I put for, that I've got for them? No, he says he's given it to us already. Although we have to get it through the knowledge of him. As we know God, or as we, you know, carry on with God, God will show us what he has done for us already. Do you understand? So it's not going to be God just preparing what he has for us. He's done it already. But our knowledge of God will enable us to be able to enter God's rest. So it's resting in God and not worrying ourselves and saying, you know, and understanding that God has a plan for us and he has provided all we need for that plan. Now, so what does God's rest mean to you and I? So we've looked at trusting that he will keep us to the end, trusting that everything we want to do this year, according to his plan, he's provided for it already. The third thing in terms of God's rest to us is that God wants us to trust that he will provide for our needs, irrespective of what the economy says. If you look at Matthew chapter 6, verse 31 and 32. Matthew chapter 6, verse 31 and 32. Now, in that Matthew 6, God begins to say something there. He says, therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we be, with what shall we be clothed? He says, after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you have need of these things. So here we can see something that God knows that we have, there are things that we need to survive. You know, God knows that there are things we need to survive. He knows we need basic, well, the basic things, food, accommodation, and all these things. Do you understand? And he will provide those things, as he said, as we seek his kingdom. Now, why is this important? It's important because, you know, this year is going to be quite a funny year with all the indecision that's going on with the government, all these things happening. And there's a tendency that one might read those things and one might actually begin to panic and think, oh, what does this mean for me? Brexit or no Brexit? Exit or no exit? All these things going on, and you read the news and you're wondering, what's really going to happen to me? What's going to happen to my family? What should I do? Should I begin to do this? Should I begin to do that? You know, God is saying to us that, look, we need to commit our hearts to him and really rest in him in this situation as well. Do you understand? So God wants us to really rest in him. What that means is, in terms of him keeping us to the end, in terms of providing, well, equipping, in terms of the fact that he has equipped us with what we need to survive for our spiritual walk, and our just natural walk as well. But like I said, lastly, the fact that he will provide for us. So our provision is not dependent on the economy. It's not dependent on Brexit. None of those things. And God doesn't want us to take those things to heart. Yes, we can be aware of what's going on around, but we need to constantly remind ourselves that, you know what? I'm going to rest in God this year. I'm not going to fret about these things. I'm not going to concern myself with these things too much. I'll do my part, go to work, do what I can, but I'm not going to let it occupy my time or my mind at all. Do you understand? That's how God wants us to rest in Him this year. It's a long year ahead. Do you understand what I mean? Now, so in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 to 29 that we read earlier, Christ was referring to Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 to 29. So this is the fourth thing. Christ was referring to us being laboring and being heavy laden. I don't know what comes to your mind when you think about this. You know, I think sometimes when you think about labor and heavy laden, you can think of like someone carrying like a big load or like a big rucksack or something. And it's just like the pressure is really on them. So the same way Christ is saying here is referring to us being heavy laden and laboring. So what does that mean in our context? Does that mean we shouldn't work hard? Is Christ saying, you know what? If you're a builder, don't carry too much up the roof by yourself. You know, take it once, you know, take it. No, he's not saying that. But I believe that one thing he's referring to is the fact that we should not worry or be heavy laden when it comes to, well, let me put it another way. Basically, that we should not, number one, worry, and number two, we shouldn't try and make things happen by our own energy and by our own strength. Because it's when you are trying your utmost best, which you should, you know, Bible says you should be diligent in all we're doing, you know, work hard, do what you need to do. But there's a difference between working hard, right, and working hard with the notion at the back of your mind that it is your hard work alone that will get the job done. So two people might be working hard at the same, doing exactly the same thing. But one of them thinks, wow, I better work hard or else this will happen. I better work hard, or if I don't work hard, you know, and they're worrying. You understand what I mean? That person is heavy laden. That person is laboring under worry. And you have another person who is even probably working harder, but they're not thinking that way. They're thinking, you know what, I'm going to work hard, but God has me covered. The person who chooses to try and make things happen themselves, or who thinks that things will happen based on their own ability alone, that person, Jesus says, is laboring. That person is heavy laden. That person is going to be up at night thinking, when they switch on the news, my goodness, I think I need to. Do you understand what I mean? Jesus says, worrying and trying to make things happen yourself, outside of God, by yourself, will cause you to labor and be heavy laden. If you look at 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 9. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 9. It tells us something in the B part. It says, for by strength shall no man prevail. So God says that it is not how strong you are that is going to get the job done. It is not. If you look at Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6. Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6. He says something there as well. And he says in Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6. He says, not by power or by might, but by my spirit. Yeah, dude. He said, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. So God is telling us something here about laboring and being heavy laden. He's saying, look, you and I need to understand this year and going forward that you should not let worry or what I'll describe as self-strength encumber you. Don't let worry and self-strength cause you to be heavy laden. Do you understand? So God wants us to be aware of that. And Jesus has given us the invitation to step away from that and to enter into his rest. Another part of the Bible says so that we should cease from our own labors. He says we should work kind of like what's called like an oxymoron. He says we should labor to enter into his rest. We should labor to enter into his rest. Now, that sounds a bit contradictory. How can you labor to enter God's rest? You know, you're laboring. What does that really mean? Now, we'll look at what that means in a minute. So far we've looked at a number of things. We've looked at what is rest. We've looked at the fact that Jesus has given us the invitation to cease from our labors and enter into God's rest. We've looked at what God's rest is to you and I in this circumstance. We've looked at what Christ is referring to being heavy laden and to be laboring. Now, the last thing we want to look at this morning is how do we keep ourselves in God's rest? Or should I say, how do we labor, the Bible says, to enter into God's rest and to stay there? I'll look at a number of things. Now, the first thing that I believe you and I need to understand is from the book of Jeremiah chapter 31 verse 3. Jeremiah chapter 31 verse 3. You and I need to remind ourselves that, you know what, God really loves you and I. God loves you. God loves me. Often we think God is just a taskmaster sometimes. Do this, don't do that. If you do this, that will happen to you. No. We know God has his statutes, his laws and things like that. But let's not forget that Bible says that God sent his only begotten son to die for our sins. So we need to remind ourselves that God really loves us. And I'll tell you why in a minute. Jeremiah chapter 31 verse 3. It says, the Lord has appeared of old unto me, saying, yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn you. So God is saying that the kind of love that he has for us is an everlasting kind of love. That love didn't stop when you slapped your neighbor. But I know nobody does that here. Slap your neighbor and, you know, say some words that are not really nice to them. So God's love for us is everlasting, and we need to be aware of that in entering into his rest and remaining in his rest. The other thing as well that we need to understand is the fact in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 21. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 21. The second thing is, how does God see you? Yes, you might accept that God loves you, but you also need to realize and remind yourself that God sees you as being righteous. Not by your works, but by the price that Christ has paid. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 21 says, let's have an NIV version, please. Thank you. So it says, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Now, this is quite important. It's quite important that we understand that we are righteous in Christ, and God sees us with the eye that he sees Christ with. Now, this is quite important because if we do not see ourselves as being righteous in Christ, it will make us a bit timid in approaching God to help us or in staying in God's rest. Because there's a tendency that you might think, you know what, I'm not good enough. I don't think God is going to help me. God will probably help that other person who appears to be better than I am, and God is not going to help me. Now, if we have that attitude, what would happen is that we will circumvent, we will short circuit what God wants to do in our lives. Because we will just not let him. We will push him away. Not that he's pushing us away, but we will push him away because we think, you know what? I'm not good enough. But God wants you and I to realize that we are righteous in Christ. Do you understand? We're not perfect. We should strive to do good, but we need to realize that we are righteous in Christ. And that's what allows us. That is what qualifies us to approach him. Not our own individual good works. Do you understand what I mean? Now, all these things are important because God is our Father, and we need to realize that. that God, you know, cares about us that way. I was just talking to someone. I was just talking to my wife a few days ago, and one thing I told her was, I said, "Wow, you're a really good mom, you know." And the reason why I said that was because when I looked at some of the way that she, you know, reacted in a lot of situations, the way she would, I mean, for example, if I just, with the permission of our kids, I mean, our son will be, maybe he misses the bus somewhere and he just calls his mom. Before you know it, his mom, my wife, is just, you know, she's in the car going to pick him. I said, hang on, Dave, you don't do that for me. You don't do that for me, you know. You know, she's thinking about, okay, she said, okay, he's stuck in, you know, he can't get the bus there. She goes there to pick him. Before we know it, maybe there's something that they need here. Before I know it, there's a delivery that's come in the post. Who is this? I didn't order this. Oh, it's me. Before we know it, in the shopping, there's all this ice cream and not ice cream, all this yogurt and thing. I'm like, you know, should we be eating this? Oh, we just want to. So what I'm not saying is this. We need to understand that the same way God is really looking out for us. Do you understand? And I believe that because of that, because our kids know that, she's like that. I'm like that as well. Maybe not as much. Because they know that she's like that. When they get stuck somewhere, we know who they're going to call straight away. Do you understand? Because they have that confidence that, look, their mom cares about them. So they're bold. They can phone and say, you know what, mom? I need to be picked up now. Not in that way, you know what I mean? Because they know that she will respond. The same way, we need to understand that God sees us that way. God wants us to reach out to him as well when we are stuck. But if we don't see God from the perspective that he loves us, if we don't see God from the perspective that he sees us as righteous, what will happen is that we'll just be like, you know what? I'm stuck. I think I'm going to be stuck here alone. I don't think God is going to answer me now. Do you understand what I mean? God wants us to enter into his rest. Just a number of things and we'll close. Now, the other thing is this, and I think I'll just close with this. As we believe that God loves us and that we are righteous, you know, with God, I'll just mention one or two things. We need to understand as well that God cares about all the things that are happening to us. If you look at 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 7, you don't have to turn there, but I'll just quote it. 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 7, where it says that God cares about us and the things that we're going through. Now, the last thing I'm just going to mention in keeping ourselves in God's rest is from the book of Isaiah chapter 26 verse 3. Isaiah chapter 26 verse 3. It says, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusts in you. And I believe this is one key as well that will help us to stay in God's rest. So this is saying that there is something that will happen to you and I if we want to, well, that if we want to remain in God's rest perpetually, this is what we need to do. It says, God will keep you in perfect peace. That means you'll be at rest in your spirit. You'll be at rest. You will not be worrying about Brexit and all these things. How would you do that? One, keeping your mind on God. Not taking your eyes away from God at all. Focusing your attention on God. Focusing your attention on the Word of God. On a daily basis. On an hourly basis. And really keeping your focus on God and establishing your trust in him. So the more you focus on God and his word, the deeper you will begin to trust God because you will begin to know him better. Do you understand? Then you know that you can really call on him. Then you know that, you know, irrespective of what's happening, you will remain in his rest. All right. So I'm going to end there today. So we've looked at what is rest. We've looked at the fact that Jesus has given us an invitation to enter into God's rest. We've looked at what God's rest is. We've looked also at the fact that one can be laboring and be heavy laden, as Jesus said, when you try and make things happen yourself without depending on God. And lastly, we've looked at how we can keep ourselves in God, in God's rest. We said we need to believe that God loves us, believe that we're righteous in Him, believe that He cares about everything that's going on with us, and continually focusing on God. Amen. So as we do that, I believe that, you know, this year is going to be a fantastic year for us. But for CFT, it is the year of God's glory. I believe that as we just, you know, bear these things in mind and just remind ourselves that, you know what, I'm going out of God's rest now. Let me come back into God's rest and remind ourselves of these things on a daily basis. Then we will go through this year. We will not be stressed, irrespective of what's going on. And we will see God's hand in all the things that we're doing. God will be there to help us as He has promised. And we'll be able to achieve all the things that He has said we'll achieve. Amen. I'll stop there today, but let us all rise up and pray this morning. Except the projector people. And this morning, I just want us to commit ourselves into God's hands for the year. And just ask that, God, keep me in your rest. Help me to stay in your rest. Ask God that He will help you and I, so that we will not be stressed this year, that we'll go through this year with God's rest. We're in God's rest together. In Jesus' name, let us pray.